Hollow Sky Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And it's Monday, Hollow Cult. You know what that means. You've chosen us to hang out with you to get you through the work week. Today, I'm back with another episode of 40 and 50, and this time it comes to us from the lovely state of Florida. So if there's ever a state that's fucking weird.
Definitely going to have some strange things in there.
It's Florida. If you're new here, me and Kyle like to talk a little bit. If you're not into that kind of thing, you're going to want to fast forward 6 or 7 minutes or so to get to the crux of the show. If you do want to listen to us chit chat, feel free to hang out. Hang out and listen to us talk. It's a good time. If you're not new here, welcome back, weirdo. Glad to have you. Glad you chose us. Check us out at all our social medias. You know them. You know where they all are. Come and join the cult. Join the community. It's a good time. Everybody loves it. It's just a cool thing to do. If you have a paranormal experience you'd like for us to feature on a future show, Kyle's got some details that you're going to want.
I do. It's always in the show notes. Every day, every episode, it'll be there. However, it is hollowskypodcast@gmail.com. Write your story out, record yourself, whatever the fuck you want to do. I don't care. Hit that send button. We're going to get it. It's going to fall into the catacombs. This is admitted and acknowledged. However, we will dig them out and we will use them. May not be today, probably not tomorrow, but one day we'll get there and that'll be your debut into fame and fortune.
That's how it works.
It's 100% how it works.
It's pretty simple. Pretty simple. If you'd like to support the show, there's plenty of ways you can do it. You can roll over to Patreon, check that out, check our tiers out, see if there's something that interests you. Got a bunch of extra stuff over there. Shout out to all of our patrons that are already helping support the show. Love you guys. Thank you so much. We can't stress that enough. You all fucking rule. We also have a store where you can go get some stuff. HollowSkyPodcast.com. Check out the merch section. Get you some cool stuff. Best thing you can do, it's free. Takes no time at all. Share the show. Share it word of mouth. Share it on social media. Just put it out there. Go over to the YouTube, comment, subscribe, like, notification bell, all that stuff. All that helps push the show throughout all the algorithms that nobody can figure out. So just any little bit helps. You can also go to wherever you listen to podcasts, leave us a 5-star rating and review. And when I find it, I'll shout you out. This week's 5-star comes to us from our friend Becky G007.
Yeah.
Becky G007 says 5 stars, smiley face emoji. Thank you guys for an amazing podcast. I get excited when a new episode comes out. You two guys make me laugh, make me talk out loud in my car in agreement with the topics, which is needed after a rough day working in the ER. Keep doing what you're doing. Much love from Washington State, Becky. Well, much love from Illinois, Becky.
Hell yeah.
Thanks for the kind words and taking the time to leave us that little review there. Working in the trenches of the ER, that's got to be some rough stuff.
Yeah, and as we've discussed time and time again, jobs suck.
Yeah, jobs do suck.
They suck. But hey, on the bright side of things, you're not the first person that may or may not have listened to us in an ER.
That's also true.
Yeah, we've had reports of such things, and it's extremely humbling because you guys are way smarter and cooler than we are.
That's a fact. Being in Washington, being in Washington State, have you ever had a Bigfoot in the ER?
I hope so.
I feel like I have to ask. Anyway, yeah, thanks, Becky, for taking the time to leave us that 5-star rating and review. Hope all is well out there. If you do happen to see a Bigfoot, let us know.
Steve, is that comforting to you to know? Or do you think people find comfort in that there are people out there that have been put under and been operated on while we're playing in the background? Do you think that brings them comfort, or maybe does that warp their reality because they subconsciously listen to things that they wouldn't?
I don't know. Maybe that's bringing extra listeners into the cult.
Or maybe it's changing the future.
Maybe it is.
It's pretty cool.
From the past. Maybe we're back to the future.
Well, obviously.
from the past.
I'm obviously the mad scientist.
Yeah,
you are. And you're Marty McFly.
Yeah.
With your rad-ass floaty skateboard.
I wish I had one right now.
Me too, because I would watch you. I'd pay to watch you on it.
Just eat shit. It'd
be fucking cool.
Break all of my ankles.
It would be so awesome.
Yeah. Yep. Another way you can support the show is support our lovely sponsors that you're going to hear from right about now. Hey, Holocult. Did you know that there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your front door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you can get 20% off your first order at mood.com with promo code HOLO1. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. They have Sleepy Time Advanced gummies for a mind-soothing calm each night. They also have Morning Delta 9 gummies for an energizing, focused mental boost to start your day. Mind Magic gummies for focused, deep work and enhanced creativity. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a large selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get in the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered directly to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned before, Hollow Sky listeners gets 20% off their first order with code HOLO1. So head to mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code HOLO1 when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Be sure to try it today at mood.com. Hey, Hollow Cult. We're right into the new year, and if you're like me, you're in the mindset of wanting to get healthier. But I feel like I'm just guessing as to which habits actually matter for me specifically. I don't know which supplements to buy, which vitamins to take, or which workout trends I should be following. It's easy to get overwhelmed at the thought of it all. But this is where True Diagnostic comes in. True Diagnostic helps you find the exact supplements and lifestyle changes that can make a difference for you, and which ones you might be wasting your money, time, and energy on. If you're spending money on supplements, workouts, and wellness trends, it's worth knowing what is actually going to move the needle for you. With True Diagnostic, you can choose your test. With True Age, it measures your biological age versus your chronological age and your current pace of aging. It also gives you your top three aging actions that you can take to slow or reverse aging. With True Health, it tests 105 plus biomarkers, including vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, and fatty acids to understand your body system's health right now. It focuses on energy, metabolism, inflammation, and nutrient status today and gives you your top three health actions to work on for the next 90 days. Or for your best value, you can get the combo kit, which combines the True Age and True Health tests in one package. It shows you how fast you're aging and how healthy you are right now and gives you both three aging actions and three health actions to work on each quarter. The process and experience is simple. Order online and the kit ships right to your door. It's quick, simple finger prick at home, then drop it in the prepaid return package. Your only job, follow the three most important actions you can take for 90 days, then retest to see your progress. True Diagnostic is trusted by top longevity clinics and health professionals, not just consumers at home. Right now, our listeners can get 20% off at truediagnostic.com using code HOLOSKY at checkout. That's truediagnostic.com and use code HOLOSKY for 20% off today. Choose True Age, True Health, or the combo kit as a one-time purchase or a subscription. And just like that, we are back. Welcome back. And today, on this lovely Monday morning, it's actually Saturday night, so Time is soup, whatever. I'm bringing you another 40 and 50. Slowly, we're chomping through the United States. Slowly getting through it. This week, we're at Florida. And if there is a state that's weird, it's fucking Florida.
Yeah, they have a lot of asinine reports that come out of that place.
Meth.
Meth, and I remember bath salts.
Yeah.
Remember when people were eating each other and they were on bath salts?
Yeah.
That was a pretty wild time to be alive.
Yeah. Then the timeline shifted. And they're still eating people.
Oh. I wouldn't have guessed that because bath salt reports have been down.
Yeah. I feel like it's different people eating people in the news now.
That's true. That's true. But I also feel like, well, I can't say that because people ate Tide Pods. Never mind.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Anyway, we're going to dive right into Florida. Dive right in. I got some weird stuff. Some weird things going on in Florida.
I'm here for it.
We're going to start out in Lee County. This particular case is called the Lee County Transformer. And it's exactly what you think it is.
Hell yeah.
A Lee County, Florida couple parked their car and were stargazing when they observed a multicolored light. Then something slams into the ground nearby, followed by a harrowing experience. This account I found posted to phantomsandmonsters.com. It was ran by Lon Strickler. End quote. It was around 10 p.m. on January 3rd, 2017. I was riding around in my car with my girlfriend. We live in Lee County, Florida. We saw a lot of stars out in our neighborhood, and we thought it was romantic. So I parked the car at the side of the road. I opened the roof window, and we stargazed. Then all of a sudden, we heard an extremely loud bang that sounded like a gunshot. Which, it's Florida, so that's fair.
It's true.
So Mel lives in Jacksonville, and she always sends me her Ring camera updates, and it's always, is it gunshots or is it fireworks? So yeah, I feel like it's a Florida
probably
thing.
Gunshots.
Yeah. But the sound came from the sky. My girlfriend and I were startled. Then we looked up to the sky, and that's when things got weird. We saw a multicolored light of some sort, but it was streaking quickly across the sky. The sound got louder, and the situation didn't look too good, so we tried to drive away. And that's when the impact occurred. The shockwave was so intense and made my car and my girlfriend and I bounce probably a few inches off the ground. I asked my girlfriend if she was okay, and she looked like she had just seen a ghost while staring at something behind me when I was facing her direction. I turned around and saw a car-sized, shiny, metallic object smoking and stuck into the ground about 3 feet deep. We got out of the car to get a closer look at it. First mistake. If you ever see a UFO, don't get out of your car.
It had to hit with some force to make it bounce off the ground.
And to dig itself 3 feet into the ground?
Yeah.
Don't get out of the car.
No, you should probably get out of the car.
Never get out of the car.
Always get out of the car.
Cash Landrum got out of the car. Got radiation poisoning.
Nah.
Travis Walton got out of the car. Got abducted. Betty and Barney Hill got out of the car. Got abducted.
Well, you know, you can't win them all.
You could just stay in the fucking car.
Or you could be the ones that succeed in the mission. I don't know what the mission is, though.
Staying in the car.
Okay.
Okay. We got out of the car to get a closer look at it, and it seemed the object had individual little plates shifting and attaching to other plates. I never felt so scared in my life. Then I realized it wasn't a meteorite or any type of craft. It looked like technology, but nothing I'd ever seen before. The plates shifted into kind of a star-shaped, but were still completely visible. My girlfriend screamed in fear when we both saw the entire structure melt into what looked like a black liquid, T-1000.
Dude, that's probably exactly what I would be thinking.
That is why you stay in the car.
I mean, in that instance, if it is T-1000, then you definitely should have stayed in the car.
Yeah. But black liquid, You hear that a lot in the UFO realm.
Yeah, the black goo.
It's weird. We ran to the car, and I tried to start it, but it wouldn't start. It didn't even make a sound. We looked back at the object, and it was now growing taller. We didn't hear any noise from it. We jumped out of the car and ran as far as we could. We looked back, only to see the object solidify into a giant, mechanical, metal, humanoid figure. It turned around and quickly followed us down the road until we found the edge of the forest in our neighborhood. We climbed up a tree and hid there for about 7 to 8 minutes, praying not to die while I was trying to calm myself and my girlfriend down. I was able to take a photograph while looking down at the humanoid. I've attached it to the email above. The giant metal humanoid stopped looking around and ran off, so we both climbed down from the tree. I questioned reality that day. I know that this whole affair seems crazy, but it did happen. So there was an email attached to this specific encounter sent to Lon, but it wasn't that good of a photograph attached to the email. You can't really make anything out. So
you can go. Who the fuck climbs a tree in response to a transformer?
I don't know how I would respond to a transformer.
Would you climb a tree?
I'm not climbing a tree at all.
Thank you.
Maybe from a bear.
Well, bears can climb trees, so.
Fuck. Never mind. Not the best idea at all.
That's very strange, though. It's a very unorthodox tactic, if you will, to run away from a transformer and climb a tree.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. I don't know what I'd do if I saw a transformer.
I feel like most people would probably, at this point, get back in the car and drive away.
Yeah, as they should.
But they freaked out and climbed a tree.
As they should.
I mean, to be fair, it did work, so.
Yeah, he did run away at that point.
Yeah, so maybe he was extremely impressed by your tree climbing abilities and skedaddled.
I wonder if there's more Transformer encounters. I didn't even think to like search into it because I was specifically searching Florida encounters, but I wonder if that's a thing.
I hope so. I would like to have a transformer. I feel like I would like a little one though.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of cool to have one, yeah. You know, about 12 inches tall.
Just turned into a Camaro and drives around.
Yeah.
Bitching Camaro.
And it's like, get in. And you're like, I can't. You're too fucking small. So then you just sit down on it and it struggles to drive around the house.
Yeah. This next one's a shorter one. Still interesting, though. And I titled it Slipped Into Another Dimension.
Okay.
This took place in Boca Raton, Florida in November of 2004. An unnamed, respected local business owner, in Boca Raton experienced what may be one of the most disturbing domestic disappearance cases on record. After falling asleep beside his wife, he awakened hours later to learn that she had searched the entire house and even walked the community in her pajamas, believing that he had vanished. His car, wallet, phone, and money were all accounted for. The bed covers on his side appeared disturbed as if he had gotten up and left. Yet moments later, she found him back in bed, unaware that any time had passed at all. The timeline suggested he was physically absent from the home for approximately 45 to 60 minutes. The following day, he noticed unexplained reddening across his chest, throat, and similar mild radiation or sun exposure. There were no marks elsewhere on his body. Both husband and wife insisted that neither had been dreaming. The witness formally requested an investigation and scrutiny, stating confusion rather than fear, and acknowledging that the event felt like something torn from a Twilight Zone episode.
Sounds like something from a Twilight episode.
Sounds like his ass got abducted.
I mean, I feel like that's obvious. It's definite. That's a definite. Not even a possibility. It happened. He got abducted. That or he slipped into like a liminal space.
That's what I was thinking. Like,
and just was hanging out there for a little bit while I napped.
What was it? Sam the Sandown Clown Part 2, where he took her into his reality, but she stayed in her physical reality, but consciously she went into his reality. He, for all intents and purposes, remained consciously in this reality, but physically he wasn't there.
That's weird.
It's like the opposite. That is weird. Because his wife, it's on record, she went to the guard stations at their gated community to look for him. So he clearly was not in the bed, but ended up back in the bed.
I don't know. I mean, outside of, like I said, falling in a liminal space or being abducted, I don't know where else to go with that.
Yeah, it's weird.
That or she was bombed on bath salts.
Could be.
I hope not, for her sake.
Could be.
But it could. It could happen. It is Florida, so nothing's off the table down there.
As I was researching Florida, I came across a surprising amount of Glimmerman encounters.
Interesting.
Like the Shimmermen, the Glimmermen. I pulled three of them. One of them's longer than the other two, but I don't know what it is about Florida. People are seeing the glimmer beings down there.
It's hot.
Yeah, could be. They do refer to it as like a heat wave.
Yeah.
Interesting. I also found, not that this is in this episode, but since it's close to home, I found one from Cahokia.
Oh, nice.
From near Cahokia Mounds. Glimmer man sighting. So we're going to start at the Flying Eagle Preserve in Citrus County, Florida, on February 17th, 2021, approximately 4 p.m. Every so often, my wife and daughter walk our family dog at the Flying Eagle Preserve, which was once a Boy Scout camp. The road the preserve is located on is called Boy Scout Road, which is in close proximity to the Withlacoochee River.
Hell yeah.
Today she saw something, a specific type of creature. It was 6 to 8 feet tall. She described it as shimmer, resembling the camouflage of, quote, the hunter in the Predator movies. Refracting sunlight, which was refracting in subtle blues, pinks, and yellows, almost a rainbowish sheen, with a silhouette that would suggest it had a long tail, as long as it was tall, and it also had feathers. It was really hard for her to put into words, but I wanted to post something here to see if anyone has any ideas or even connection to indigenous beliefs or otherwise. The creature did not approach them, possibly due to the dog, which also noticed the creature. So again, kind of like in the missing 411 cases, they do refer to this thing as something similar to the Predator.
Yeah, the Glimmerman sightings are fascinating. It's even weirder that you have so many of them, considering my next episode. So,
are you?
Foreshadowing.
Synchronicities.
Foreshadowing.
I did. This one is from an earlier account. Also in Florida, because if it wasn't, it wouldn't be in this episode. Pembroke Pines. A Florida resident is walking their dog when they observe an insectoid humanoid in front of them. The entity starts to run, gradually fading away using glimmering camouflage. This is, again, from Phantom and Monsters. Says, I received the following account. The date was 10/24/2014. I was walking the dog around my Pembroke Pines, Florida neighborhood and came around a curve in the sidewalk/street. I noticed something unusual and stopped walking, staring at it, trying to figure out exactly what I was seeing. The dog seemed more annoyed that I'd made him stop. He did not bark or react in any way. There was a figure ahead of me, about 30 feet away, standing at the swale area between the sidewalk and the street. It was not facing me. It was skeletal thin or bony, taller than my 5'3" frame, with white or light grayish skin and no hair. There was something blue near its left ear. At first, I thought maybe it was a spiritual type of being, but clearly was not human. It sensed I was staring at it, looked over its right shoulder, looked at me, and then looked down at the dog. Then it suddenly started to run into the middle of the street and then down the street past the next block. Its knees were backwards as it ran. That...
That's
makes
awesome.
Me feel gross.
There's a movie like that too, where the entities ran like that.
It began to gradually fade, like the edges were only part of it that I could see. It was glimmering and fading until I couldn't see it anymore. A friend suggested that it sounded like an insect-type alien or a praying mantis alien. I'm in my late 50s, I don't drink or get stoned, and this was not a Halloween prank. I would really love to know if anybody knows what this might be.
I don't know what it might be, but I know what it would have been had Steve and I encountered it.
Busted.
Busted. Because in my head, I'm thinking, dog, I feel like we could fuck this one up. It has cloaking technology. We have to beat him up and take it.
My thing is are these, now that I'm reading, like really digging my teeth into these, are these things a specific species? Or is it different species that have the cloaking technology? Because the first one had a tail and feathers, and this one is an insectoid.
Yeah.
So are they all getting bunched into Glimmer Men when they almost should be their own species with glimmer technology?
I feel like you're probably right. It's just that in most cases outside of these two, you don't hear of actual descriptions other than it just the glimmer sighting.
Yeah, like humanoid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it bend in the light and so on and so forth.
Glimmer tech. Insectoids with glimmer tech.
I think it's rad. I would love to get my hands on it.
Yeah.
But if we encounter one that we could fight, we're fighting it. Easy. Hands down. I mean, if it's like a Bigfoot with cloaking tech, we're not fighting Bigfoot. No. Bigfoot would fuck us up. Yeah. Especially but if it's this little like 60-pound stick, oh yeah.
Since we're both wearing camo, is that considered camouflage technology?
Also, ironically relevant for my next episode.
Hmm. The more glimmer on the way. I got one more glimmer case from Florida here. Quote, my name is Mallory, and I would like to share with you a terrifying experience I had back in 2002 while I was in college. Back then, I was in my second year at the University of Florida and was living in an apartment with a girlfriend of mine, also a fellow student in the city of Gainesville, Florida. We lived the typical college life. We went to class most of the time, studied, hung out with friends, and would attend the occasional party on the weekends. We were two broke college girls, so we didn't have the funds that a lot of our friends did. So when we had free time, we would go look for things to do that didn't cost much. We would go to the movies, go out bowling, go to flea markets, yard sales, hiking around in local parks. This was one of my favorite activities to do. I love the outdoors, and it's great exercise. We had a dog named Toby. He was a golden retriever and has since passed away. R.I.P. Toby. But back then, he was a great and loving dog who loved to go on hikes with me. So we went a lot, probably like three times a week. Anyway, our favorite spot to hike was the Gainesville-Hawthorne State Trail. It wasn't that far away and was like a 16-mile hike if you did the whole thing. We only did that three times. Most of the time, we'd hike around 5 miles. It's a beautiful trail with lots of trees covered in Spanish moss, swamps, and wildlife. The trails are paved and there are bridges, observation decks, and loads of cool things to see. The woods are very thick and dense. Once off trail, you can only see about 35 yards into the woods. Well, on this particular day, me and Toby were about 4 miles into the trail. It was a weekday, around 11 a.m., so there were very few people. At the time of our encounter, there was no one around, just me and Toby. As we were walking, I was just looking around as we hiked. You know, just looking for wildlife, enjoying the sun and Mother Nature and all of her beauty. When all of a sudden, Toby froze. He saw something. He just stood there with his ears perked up, his tail was sticking straight out, and he was staring into the trees. I assumed he'd seen some birds or something else in the trees. So I asked him, "What do you see, Toby? What is it, boy?" He didn't bark, but I could tell something had caught his attention. While he continued to stare, I started looking in the same direction that he was, trying to see what he was looking at. At this point, Toby's demeanor started to change. His tail went from sticking straight out to now lower and in between his legs. He began to whimper a little bit, started pulling on the leash like he wanted to get out of there. I continued to look into the trees, trying to spot whatever was scaring him, and that's when I saw it. It's very hard to describe, but this thing looked clear, but not quite. It was in the shape of a human, meaning that it had a head, a torso, two arms, and two legs, but it was see-through. The thing that stood out the most was that it had glowing yellow eyes. That was the only thing that wasn't clear. As crazy as it sounds, this thing looked like the alien in the Predator movies whenever it's cloaking itself. It was standing on a large tree branch hanging by its right arm and was looking directly at me and Toby. It slowly began to crouch down and tried to hide behind the trunk of the tree, like it noticed us noticing him. I don't know what to say of him. I absolutely have no idea the sex of this strange creature, if that's what you want to call it. I tried to hide, but like I said, you could still see portions of it behind the tree. I was frozen. I was mesmerized by this thing. I was just staring at it, trying to figure out what it was. I didn't want to take my eyes off of it for fear that I might lose sight of it. The thing was so damn camouflage. If I looked away, I might not be able to find it again. So I just stared, ignoring Toby and his whispers. Then it moved. It swung through the trees effortlessly and made almost no sound. It would move to a few trees and then freeze, look back at us, I guess to determine if we were watching it or not. I got the feeling that this thing did not want to be seen. It would move, then freeze, then crouch down, then put itself between us and the tree it was in. It would sit there for a few minutes, then move again. I wanted to follow it, but everything in my body said no, so I just watched it, and eventually it disappeared into the forest. Toby and I jogged back to the car. I never told anybody about what we saw, and to this day, I don't know what we witnessed. Was it an alien, or was it something else? I don't know. I was scared the day it happened, but at the same time, I was elated. Toby and I went back there numerous times, and I'm not going to lie, I had hoped that I'd seen it again, but never did. I thought that was the only one who had this type of encounter until I heard you guys covering the Glimmer Man. I saw it. I saw the Glimmer Man. Now I tell anyone who will listen, of course, some people think I'm crazy, but I don't care. I feel lucky that I got to have an experience with the paranormal and with the unknown. I think the universe is way more complex than we think, and that there are lots of things that we can't explain, and that's okay. I like it that way. Mallory. I'm trying to think of where I got that from. That might also be a Phantom and Monsters, but I'm not sure.
That would low-key scare the shit out of me.
Oh, yeah. Knowing that it's knowing, like, acknowledging that it's acknowledging you, acknowledging it, is a terrifying feeling.
Yeah, it's pretty creepy.
Yeah. And just, like, staying there, I don't know how I would react, because you don't know what kind of creature it is. You don't know how it's going to react. You don't know if it's sizing you up. You don't know if it's like a predator-prey scenario, or if it thinks you're a threat, or if it's a threat. Just the whole thing. Just.
And in your head, if you've seen the movie Predator, that's where your brain's going to go. And
yep.
So you're instantly going to be terrified that this thing has the ability to annihilate you rather quickly.
Yeah.
And it would even be more worrisome, I think, that your dog is... like extremely negatively acting
yeah.
towards it. Like this, the dog instantly recognizes I don't have a chance.
Cause a golden retriever is a big dog. That dog probably 80, 90 pounds.
And you'd think in most cases where they feel like their companion / owner, whatever, however you want to call it, is in a threatening situation. Most animals usually step up and they don't care what the odds are. They got one mission.
Yep. Because goldens will square off with humans, no problem. So this thing had to be a bigger threat than a human, which sucks.
It does. Like I said, it would have definitely scared me. I probably would have been in the same boat that person was when just looking at it, trying to watch it until it finally disappears. I, however, wouldn't have jogged back. I would have ran my ass off trying to get out of there.
Yeah. And it is interesting that she describes herself as being mesmerized by it, because that's like, you hear that so much, not necessarily in just Glimmer Man encounters, but also UFO sightings and stuff. Like you are just locked into what you're seeing.
I mean, also it's out of the realm of normalcy. You don't know how to react. So, cause I mean, I can picture myself in the same spot where you're sitting there and your main focus is to make sure that it doesn't leave your vision.
Yeah. You're just trying to make sense of it.
Yeah. But I guarantee if it would have started moving towards her, she probably would have had a way different reaction to it.
Yeah.
Because that, I think right there, the fight or flight kicks in fully, and you make your decision on what you want to do.
Yeah. I love the way she described it, like stopping between the trees and double checking to see if it's still watching them. Like that, that's terrifying.
And she's right. I guarantee that if she would have took her vision off of it, she probably would have lost it.
Yeah. And that leads me directly into my next little piece of weirdness here from Florida. Since so far it's pretty much all been some kind of extraterrestrial-esque encounters, this leads me directly to Florida company offering alien abduction insurance has sold nearly 6,000 policies.
That's crazy. And also, how do you insure against that?
Yeah. Yeah. Looking for a big insurance payout? Try getting abducted by aliens. At least that's what one Florida company is telling its customers. The St. Lawrence agency, also known as the, quote, UFO abduction insurance company, offers a very specific type of policy. For just $19.95, you can protect yourself against extraterrestrial encounters. The insurance plan, which includes $10 million in coverage. Let me repeat that. $10 million in coverage was invented by Mike St. Lawrence, who describes himself as being in the, quote, humor business, according to Florida's WFLA News. Humor aside, the success behind St. Lawrence Aliens policy is very real. He said he sold nearly 6,000 plans since first launching his company in 1987. The policy offers plenty of absurd benefits for any would-be abductees, including psychiatric care, sarcasm coverage, double identity coverage. For just $5 more, customers can also get a paper certificate as evidence of their purchase. Policyholders should read the fine print before they buy, though. In the event of an abduction, the plan's $10 million coverage pays out at a rate of $1 per year for 10 million years. What a dick.
Yeah, I was as soon as you said that, I'm like, and this is why we hate insurance people.
Yeah.
Because you, even like, all he really would have had to done is just swing it, just say, yeah, we'll cover up to 10 million. Steve, what do you think the odds are that you're going to be able to prove that you were abducted by aliens?
Yeah, yeah. Not good.
Not good. And the fact that 6,000 people have opted in at $20 a month,
he's doing all
right, is fucking crazy.
He's doing okay.
That's what? 120,000? Is, no. Is it that much?
Six. How many did he say?
6,000 at $20 a piece.
Yeah, 6,000 at two would be 12,000. That's 120,000.
That is
crazy.
Crazy. We are in the wrong line of business, my friend.
Hollow Sky Alien Insurance coming to you shortly.
That's nuts. It's nuts that 6,000 people signed up for it.
What's even more nuts is that St. Lawrence told WFLA that he's only paid out two policies. So two people have cashed in since launching his business.
But then in worst case, you just pay him a dollar back out of their 20. You still win.
One of which involved a customer who submitted Polaroid photos of what they claimed were real aliens.
Were they real aliens?
I don't know. Apparently, they were real enough.
This is a good scheme.
Apparently, they were real enough to get their insurance policy paid out.
That's rad.
Strangely enough, the St. Lawrence agency isn't the only company that offers abductions. I know this isn't Florida, but I feel like it ties together. A 2000 article in Daily Telegraph reported on Grip, a British company that claimed to have sold more than 37,000 alien-based policies. Another English broker called Goodfellow, Rebecca Ingram and Pearson, also briefly offered abduction insurance in the 1990s, but later discontinued its plans after the UFO religious cult Heaven's Gate purchased a number of policies for its members before they clicked themselves.
That's crazy.
Fucking weird.
That's crazy. I never would have guessed that that was real. However, it's not that surprising. People generally aren't the smartest, but it's crazy at what they'll throw their money at.
Yeah, and there are always going to be people there to cash in on it.
It's wild. Absolutely wild.
37,000.
That's crazy, dude. Even at a dollar a month.
Can you imagine?
No.
Being the insurance company that sold insurance to the Heaven's Gate people. Not a good look.
Not really.
Not a good look.
Not really. Well, they didn't have to pay out, so.
Yeah, that's true. Like, I guess they can't prove that they didn't get abducted by aliens.
True.
I mean, physically they didn't, but consciously maybe they did. They're supposed to find a UFO behind the comet, right? That's how that played out?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. So we go from there, from alien insurance, directly into murderous black-eyed kids.
Awesome.
You should see the cover art for this episode.
Murderous black-eyed kids. That sucks.
Yeah.
I've never heard a story where they're murderous.
Mm. Interesting. Well, today's your lucky day.
I'm excited.
I live in Broward County, Florida. Something odd and frightening occurred last summer. I woke up during the night around 2 a.m. to a boy and girl knocking on my front door. I thought there may be an emergency, so I opened the door, and the two were just standing there staring at me. I asked what was going on, and they told me that they needed to come inside. I asked why, but they refused to answer. Then I asked them if they were looking, or if they were in some kind of trouble or lost, but they again just stared at me. I was getting pissed and starting to wake up at this point. That's when I took a closer look at these two kids. I noticed that neither of them had whites in their eyes. In fact, they didn't seem to have pupils at all. I freaked out and told them to go home and quickly shut the door. I called the local cops and told them that two kids were knocking on doors. A cruiser was sent out to the neighborhood, but they didn't find anyone walking around. They figured it was just local kids messing around. The more I thought about what happened, the more I got an eerie reaction to the encounter. A few days later, I was pulling up to my house, and the same two kids are standing in the corner of my street. A dark-haired girl about 12 years old, and a boy with similar colored hair, probably the same age. Both kids were standing on the corner of my street, staring at my neighbor's house. I stood in my driveway for a few seconds and watched them. They didn't say or do anything. I walked inside, did a few things, then walked back outside to see if the two kids were still there. But they were gone. The same night, I woke again around midnight to the sounds of sirens. My neighbor's house was on fire. There were fire trucks in the front and in the back alley. I later spoke to the cops and told them that those same two kids were staring at my neighbor's house earlier that day. The cop didn't seem to think it was important. Later that night, the body of my neighbor was found in the fire debris. It was determined that she had been bludgeoned and stabbed to death. I was brought into the police department and questioned for several hours. I believe that they thought I may have killed my neighbor, or the cops then seemed to think that her boyfriend was involved. After a couple of days or so, the cops came back to question me again. The boyfriend had an airtight alibi, but they still never ask about the kids. I have been afraid to bring it up to the cops, in particular about the black eyes and how bizarre they acted. I fear that I will become a suspect if I start telling them about my bizarre experience. I still don't believe they have a suspect, and I fear those kids may return.
That sucks.
Yeah, it does.
That sucks.
It's weird.
I wonder if there's any more reports out there of black-eyed kids doing this. In theory, that would have been an individual that let them in.
That's what you're not supposed to do.
That is what you're not supposed to do.
That's what happens whenever you let them in.
Don't do that. Don't do it.
Yeah, it's like getting out of the car when you see a UFO. Just don't. You don't let the black-eyed kids in.
Go back to sleep.
I know we've done a couple episodes on them. What are the origins? Like, what is the mythos behind them?
I don't know.
Is it extraterrestrial? Is it like
vampiric? I would assume it would be more of like a demonic thing. And it's been a while since I've kind of researched the Black Eyed Kids. So I am a little rusty on the topic there.
Yeah.
But it feels demonic, especially the fact that it bludgeoned her to death.
And stabbed her.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to Wikipedia here. Black-eyed children or black-eyed kids are legendary paranormal creatures originating in modern American folklore, which superficially resemble human children or teenagers with pale skin and pitch black eyes. They were reportedly seen begging or hitchhiking or are encountered on doorsteps of residential homes. These beings are alleged to be either undead, ghostly, demonic, or alien. So everyone's right.
So yeah.
It's just every kind of paranormal creature ever.
There is no certainty behind the black-eyed kids.
No. Or otherwise inhuman creatures attempting to impersonate ordinary human children in order to manipulate people by requesting entry into houses or riding in vehicles with supposedly sinister motives.
Well, I don't, after this story, I don't think it's supposed anymore.
No.
It's guaranteed that they are not friendly, so they deserve a Judy chop across the forehead.
Interesting. So it's pretty much every spooky thing you can think of solved.
Or the possibility of, anyways.
Yeah. I got one more here. I didn't do like the big ones. I didn't do the Gulf Breeze UFOs. I didn't do the Miami Mall aliens, because those are all things that are like episodes in themselves. I will touch on something interesting about the Miami Mall aliens, that while I was searching up Florida stuff, I found something interesting that I'm going to throw a theory out.
CCTV footage?
No, that doesn't exist, remember?
I know.
Trust what... I thought
maybe you found it.
Trust what the authorities tell you.
Yeah, that you should definitely do that.
There's no cell phone footage, and there's no CCTV footage.
Yeah, because people really aren't on their phones that much.
No, especially not, what is that, 2 years ago now? 3 years ago?
Something like that.
Yeah, people didn't have phones back then.
No.
There wasn't CCTV cameras in a mall, of all places.
Duh.
Goofies. Okay, this one. Titled, Four Teens Killed by Sea Monster.
Wow.
The Florida cryptid's getting wild down here. I'll tell you what.
Was it old Nessie coming over on vacation?
Yeah, worse. Floridessie.
That sucks. It's a methed out relative.
Yeah, just smoked on bath salts.
Yes.
Eating humans.
Everybody flushed their bath salts after the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah. In March of 1962, five teens from Fort Walton Beach, Florida, set out on a raft to explore the semi-submerged shipwreck of the USS Massachusetts. Of the five teens that set out on the mission, only one returned alive. The 16-year-old survivor named Brian McCleary, and his account of what happened to him and his friends that day, is bizarre and truly disturbing. Brian retold his account of the events to Fate magazine in 1965. Brian was joined on the trip by his friends Eric Rule, 16, Bradford Rice, 14, Warren Felly, 16, and Larry Stewart Bill, 17. He says he checked the weather report before embarking on their journey, and the weather was supposed to be clear. They drove from Fort Walton to Fort Pickens State Park, where they entered the waters of Pensacola Bay. The boys had a, quote, 7-foot Air Force life raft, outfitted with, quote, a drift anchor, pockets for provisions, and oars. The water was ice cold. The boys took turns paddling to help save energy for exploring the shipwreck. But on the trip out, a storm rolled in. The wind and waves were pushing the raft out to sea. Eric, Warren, and Brian jumped in the water to try to push the raft from behind, but were unable to make any progress toward the shore, so they climbed back into the raft. The waves were getting higher and higher, and the boys had to hold on tight to the sides of the raft. The sky began to grow dark, and other boats out at sea began heading into shore. They attempted to wave down help from other vessels, but they just waved back, oblivious to the trouble that the boys were in. First off, the other boats, what are you doing?
Do better.
If the storm's bad enough, where you, on a boat, are going back to shore, you're not going to stop for five teenagers in a tiny raft.
Man, look at those guys over there. They're having so much fun.
Yeah, they're just going out into the storm.
Man, living the dream. Wild boys.
Let's do some critical thinking. Let's start using our brains. Let's just start using our brains, and everything will work out better. Do use our critical thinking skills.
Yeah, that would be a positive.
Yeah. After a while, the storm lets up, but a thick fog rolls in, limiting their visibility to around 25 feet. The water around them suddenly becomes unseasonably warm, and the smell of rotting fish fills the air. Out of nowhere, what looks like a telephone pole with a bulb on top appeared near the boys, bent in the middle and then dove under the water, making a high-pitched whine. The boys began to panic and jumped into the water. Patches of brown, crusty slime lay all over the surface. The boys tried to swim for the shipwreck, but they were all tired and cramping up. After they had been swimming for about 30 seconds, Warren cries out, "Hey, help me, help me. It's got Brad." Before he, too, vanishes beneath the surface. Brian, Larry, and Eric keep swimming, but they've lost sight of Warren and Brad. Next, Larry suddenly vanishes beneath the water. Eric and Brian frantically search for him, but it has become so dark that they can't see him. Eric becomes overcome with fatigue and holds on to Brian to stay afloat. After what felt like a couple hours, lightning flashes and Brian is able to make out the wreck of the Massachusetts. He frantically swims toward it. Eric and Brian are separated by a wave, but they both continue to swim toward the wreck. Suddenly, the long telephone pole-like figure emerges from the water once again and dove on top of Eric, dragging him under the water. Brian screams and swims past the ship. He can't remember anything after this until he wakes up on the shore and is found by some bystanders. Brian was taken to the hospital, where he reported his story to the local police. They told him to keep quiet about the sea monster from his story, as no good would come of it. They didn't believe him to be guilty of any wrongdoing, so they just let him be. Brian had a mental breakdown after the incident, but was able to resume his life after 3 months of recovery. He was honest about what happened to him, telling people about the sea monster, but suffered greatly for the rest of his life as few people believed his story about the creature. Skeptics claim the boys were simply hallucinating from exhaustion and drowned. Others claim that they saw a whale and it caused them to panic and then drown. In the end, Brian stopped talking about what happened and he passed away in 2016.
I'd probably go crazy after that too.
Yeah, you just watched all your buddies get murdered by a monster.
Yeah,
a
telephone pole thing.
Yeah, it reminds me of like the big...
Yep.
Off of the, you know, the fish.
Yep, that's exactly
the
what
fish
I was
with
thinking.
The teeth and the thing. Yeah.
Yep, that's exactly what I was thinking.
That sucks.
Dumb. Just dumb. Why even jump out of the boat? I would have looked at him and said, "I'm staying in the boat. You guys are dumb."
Yeah.
That water's cold. I don't do cold water.
Did anybody find the boat?
I don't know.
The raft? How did he get back to shore?
He floated.
Why didn't the creature eat him, too?
It's a good question.
Did they find the bodies of his friends?
Good questions.
I don't know. I didn't look that far into it. I just found the news article and copied it.
It is crazy that it was a news article.
Yeah.
Because it kind of feels satire, but at the same time, so does it most of the paranormal.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Just be smart. Don't try to jump in the water or go into the ocean. That's a bad idea.
Yeah, there's paranormal or not, there's stuff in the ocean that can and will and wants to eat you.
Yes.
And will do it.
Yeah, so stay out of the ocean.
Don't go into the ocean.
It's a bad, bad idea.
It's full of gross stuff, fish, bodily fluids.
I argue that it's worse going out into the ocean than getting out of your car when an alien spaceship lands nearby. Mm-hmm. I'd rather get out of my car near a spaceship than out of my boat in the ocean.
Well, I wouldn't be in a boat in the ocean.
I agree. Neither would I.
I would be in a car if a UFO came down. There's a better chance of that, I think. Yeah,
but I'm just saying.
I'm trying to think, how many times have I been on a boat in the ocean? One time?
I've never.
See? How many times have you been in a car?
I've been knee-deep in the ocean. That's it.
That's too much.
It is too much.
It's full of dead bodies. Like, think about how many bodies on the Titanic are down there.
Yeah, it's gross.
Like 100,000.
It's too many.
Too many. Just dead bodies and fish fluids.
Blech.
It's yucky. You can look at it. That's fine. Don't put your body in it.
I agree.
Don't do it. Another little piece of stuff here before we go. Not necessarily saying it's paranormal, but as I was searching, I found this archaeological site known as the Miami Circle, which I thought, man, that's interesting. It's also known as the Miami River Circle, the Brickell Point, or the Miami Circle at Brickell Point site. An archaeological site in Brickell, Miami, Florida, consists of a perfect circle measuring 38 feet of 600 post holes that contain 24 holes or basin cut into the limestone bedrock on a coastal spit of land surrounded by a large number of minor holes. It predates other known permanent settlements on the East Coast. It's believed to have been the location of a structure built by the Tequesta Indians in what was possibly their capital, discovered in 1998. The site is believed to be somewhere between 1700 and 2700 years old. Interesting place. Obviously an important place to the Native Americans. It made me think when I was, I know I'm going to go on a tangent here and probably get crucified for it, but like the perfect circle made me think of a portal.
Well, yeah, it's like a Stargate.
Like a Stargate.
Of course.
What's less than 10 blocks from the Miami Circle?
The Miami Mall.
The Miami fucking Mall.
I knew it.
Where the aliens came through.
I knew it.
It's a portal. The indigenous people knew it was a portal.
Yeah.
And now we know it's a portal. Geniuses.
We just figure shit out.
I'm just saying.
Steve's pretty
the
smart.
Ancients know. They knew. They drew pictures of weird stuff. Aliens. Mall aliens.
We also draw pictures of weird stuff.
Yeah. They drew what they saw. And it was aliens coming out of this fucking portal.
I believe that.
And now they just go into the mall. It's literally less than 10 blocks.
It's not that far.
No. No.
Not that far.
I'm going to show you.
I mean, I believe you.
I know you do. I know you do. But I looked it up with the intention. Okay. See this big triangle? That's where I follow. That's the Brickell Key Cell. You go out a little bit. Right here is the Bayside Mall. Here's the circle. Here's the Bayside Mall.
It's pretty close.
Like it talking about like the little thing that pops up, a little square on Google Maps that tells you Miami Circle National Historical Site covers up the Bayside Mall. That's not that far.
No. It looks like a 5-minute walk on the map.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm obviously farther.
I did the walk. It's less than a mile. It's 0.9. 0.9 miles. Easily enough to be a portal Stargate.
Well, then it's definitely like a 5-minute walk, if not shorter.
Which all paranormal bullshit aside, something about that specific spot was very important to ancient peoples. For them to literally dig holes in the bedrock.
Yeah.
That's not an easy task.
No, not at all.
Something made them want to choose that spot.
Portals and aliens.
Portals and fucking aliens.
Let's fucking go.
Just saying. Geography and history and archaeology is not a coincidence.
Neither are aliens.
Neither are aliens. I don't know what to tell you. Anyway, that's what I got for 40 and 50. That's Florida. We're delving through them. Diving through them, folks. any of our Florida listeners down there know any of these places I mentioned, seen a Glimmer Man, seen a Bayside Mall alien, seen a fucking Transformer, got murdered by a sea monster, hit us up. Let us know. And thanks for hanging out with us today. We appreciate you. Till we meet again, stay safe, stay weird, and at this point, just stay away from Florida. Unless you don't have a choice.